Amen. Let's look at the Word of God, Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Today I want to preach to us on a subject that, well, it's a playoff of everything going on right now, but I want to preach to you about the new virus. The new virus. And I pray that God would speak to us. I feel him moving already today, and just a confirmation in my spirit that God is doing something and he's reaching for us. And I believe God's going to do a work here today. Amen. Tell somebody next to you, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It has now been 7 months that locally this pandemic has affected us greatly here in Southwest Missouri. Sunday, March the 15th was our last in-person service. As guidelines were adopted by our local government officials, which restricted our ability to meet together. At that point, the danger really was not that severe in our area. Yet with the constant bombardment by media showing the tragic reports from around the world, fear swept the world, and it did impact our community. And life was disrupted. School children were sent home. Restaurants closed. Public buildings were restricted. Travel became a thing of the past. We learned to stand in line just to get into Walmart. Families were separated, especially if someone was sick or even dying. No visitation was allowed in hospitals and nursing homes. Life as we had known it was totally disrupted. And everything suddenly moved online. Instead of in-person meetings, Zoom conference calls became the norm. Schools totally went online. Many of you parents had to learn how to be teachers. And what a frustrating thing that was. Netflix subscriptions boomed. Online shopping became a way of life. Grocery pickup came to every city. And some of the changes of our world were even more sinister. Zoom calls were hijacked. Online fraud increased. Pornography use multiplied. And the internet struggled to keep up. Isn't it something how quickly lifestyles can change because of a virus? Political correctness became popular. And a few scientists that, well, we'd never heard of them before, but they became common household names. Terms like social distancing and stop the spread came into use, and Facebook and Twitter got involved and now censor anything they don't agree with. And I'm not here to stir up political views, but we're in a season here of an election, and both sides and all sides and every side, and who knows whose side people are on, has stirred the pot. Just last week, Springfield recommended that people report violations of masking restrictions by calling 911. Really? For 10 weeks, we had online services only. And yes, we are thankful for the technology. We've used it for services and for staff meetings and church socials and for youth events. But as pastor, I also came to hate it because of the disconnect. We struggled to keep the community of faith, to keep the church in one accord, to keep focused. And sadly, many who were on the fringe did in fact drift away. After that initial 10 weeks was over, we started things slowly again. But with all the new restrictions and distancing ourselves and wearing masks and not praying together in the altars and worship being impacted, and even more worked their way to the fringes because of the lack of connection. Am I criticizing the efforts being made to stop the virus? No, we need to do what we can to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And yes, we wear our mask and we try to practice safe procedures during our services and interactions with between people. And we're going to abide by the strict restrictions and protocols. But isn't it something how in spite of all that, many do stand here, sit here today having come through the virus. Thank the Lord for that. I tell you, the virus, it's a real thing. And many have found that out. And they now say that over 200,000 people in the U.S. have lost their lives because of this virus. It's a new virus, and we don't have the immunity built up to it yet. And officials and experts tell us that this is our new normal. Until enough people get it or there is a vaccine, we just have to accept that this is the new reality that we have to deal with. Now, I'm not a medical professional. Some are here today. I'm not a government official. I'm not a member of the media. And so I'm not going to criticize any of these today. Our medical professionals have been overwhelmed, but they are doing a great job, and the care is getting even better. Government officials have been under tremendous pressure, and many of them, no doubt, going overboard with some restrictions, but we're not in their shoes, and they're receiving pressure from all sides. Members of the media, I believe there's been some fear sowed by the media, but after all, that's what the media does. And we watched and listened to them nonstop for months. But I'm not in the medical field, and I'm not a government official, and I'm not a news reporter, but I am a pastor. I am a pastor, and so today I'm not here to talk about a virus, a pandemic that began in China and has swept the world. That's not the subject that God has dealt with me to deal with today, but I have come to deal today with another virus. It is a side effect of not only this pandemic, but also everything else in the state of our world. And the fact is, this new virus that I've come to speak about today, the new pandemic, the new danger that is facing us. Oh, I've come here today with a burden because this is greater, far greater than the coronavirus. Because after 7 months of this and 10 of those weeks spent doing church online only, after all of this, it is easy for us to slip into what they call the new normal. But for those who have been born again, I tell you, the new normal is not normal. For those who are part of the church, the new normal is abnormal. For those who are headed to heaven, we can't just get used to things. We can't just accept it. We can't just conform to it, because this new virus is plaguing the church. And that new virus is spiritual slumber. Spiritual slumber. It really started out during our 10 weeks of church online. Instead of getting our families up early and heading to the house of God, we could just take it easy and relax at home. Instead of getting to church early for a time of prayer, we could just roll out of bed and head to the living room couch. Instead of singing and worshiping and dancing in the spirit, we could just watch as the worship team or the pastor or whoever it was preaching did their best to have a spiritual encounter over the live stream feed. And oh, we posted our clapped hands and love emojis and comments about the preaching, but can we all just be honest today? Our spiritual lives all took a slide for the worse. And even after we began to gather back together, this all increased because of the restrictions we're dealing with. It's not easy to sing with a mask on. Thank God they let me preach without one on. It's not easy to worship with all of this. It's definitely not conducive to an apostolic worship service. And separation is the last thing our soul needs. Yes, it may be necessary for a time physically, but we need the body of Christ. We need one another. We need each other. We are truly better together. Prayer times before church services have struggled. Can I pastor just a little bit today? I don't know if it's the mask or the state of everything we're dealing with, but many times in our pre-service prayer, I'll just kind of walk and pray, and I'll just be honest, very few are lost in prayer. Oh, they're saying a few prayer words, you know, thank you, Jesus, and I love you, Lord, but they're not connected with the Spirit. They're looking around or fiddling with their mask or talking with one another. Oh, where are the earnest hearts who are crying out to God because they have a desperate need for His touch in their lives? Oh, how it could be that this service is the only chance for someone here who needs a breakthrough in the Spirit, and it is the only thing that's going to save them. And before service starts, we've got to get in the Spirit in prayer. We've got to touch the throne room of God so that His power and anointing can work. Hey, I know it's inconvenient and awkward to have all these protocols and restrictions, but somehow we've just got to push through this. Somehow we've got to realize the state of our spiritual well-being. It's more important than being uncomfortable. I know it's not comfortable coming to church wearing a mask. I know it's not comfortable worshiping like this. I know we don't have kids' classes on Sunday, and it's easier to stay home, but we've got to push through that. Things are different right now, but we still need one another, and we still need the power of God to work and to move. Hallelujah. And yes, there are some who have taken this opportunity to attack churches for meeting. Look at what's happening in California. You know, it's ridiculous to think that gyms and restaurants and airlines can stay open, but churches can't meet with the same restrictions. And some have promoted, well, we just practice our faith at home. We don't need to come together. I say today that is wrong. That is not correct. And there is Bible for that. Some people love to make doctrines out of things that aren't even in the Bible, but then they neglect the things that are there. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah. This command was to a first century church that did not even have a building to meet in. It wasn't always convenient for them. It wasn't always easy. In fact, they did it under great persecution. And many times they met together facing danger, knowing that they were in jeopardy for their very lives. But with all of that, they were not able to forsake the assembling of themselves together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. If we don't see this day that we're living in, if we don't see that this is the end time, I don't know what it's going to take for us to see it. But I believe the word of God is true. The signs are all around us, and we cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Spiritual slumber. It's the new virus. The pandemic of this last days generation. I tell you, the media has done its job. The devil has been working. And our own human nature has done the rest. And spiritual slumber has made its way into the church, threatening the very existence of what we once took for granted. It's not church just to sit at home on the couch and watch. Now we understand that may be necessary if you're disabled or if you're of a high-risk group, and we have some of those who are watching online today, and we understand that. But if you have the opportunity to come, if you have the opportunity to come, you need to take advantage of that. You don't need to just slowly make your way back to church services, but you need to be here as fast as you can. It's not church just to sit and watch without singing and without praying and without worshiping and without participating, without responding to the preaching. That's not church. It's just a show. Come on, it's not church. That's just a show. And you could go a lot of places and get a show, but we've got to have a move of the Holy Spirit. We've got to have a move of the anointing of God. If we're going to make it, I've got to be touched by Him, and I've got to reach Him. We need one another, and we need the power of God to move in our midst. And so we understand, yes, those who are high risk, we understand that, and those who are disabled and all, we understand that. But for many who would go on with the rest of their daily lives, would go to restaurants and shopping at Walmart and going to work but not to church, spiritual slumber has taken hold. Have you ever tried to drive while drowsy? Oh, I hate it. Something happened when I hit 40. Yes, I am over 40. I know that's a surprise. But something happened about 10 o'clock, really about 9:30 at night. I'm just like, can we go to bed yet? I mean, I would love to drive at 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. and, you know, you got the highway to yourself and you could really make some time. But now, and I have this little thing that I'll do. I'll kind of slap my leg to keep myself awake. And every once in a while, I just mess with Sister McCoy. And I'm just wanting her to drive. I'm not really sleeping. I just slap my leg. And she's like, pull over. I'll drive. Driving drowsy. It's not fun. And it's a dangerous thing to do. 60% of adult drivers have admitted that they have driven a vehicle while feeling drowsy. And I think that's probably a low number. It has been reported that over 100,000 police-reported crashes each year involve drowsy drivers. This is estimated this has resulted in an estimated 1,500 deaths, 71,000 injuries, and $12.5 billion of monetary losses. Now, you can take a breathalyzer test for driving drunk, but there's not a test you can take to determine if someone's driving drowsy. The risk, the danger, and the often tragic results of driving drowsy are alarming. It's the dangerous combination of operating a moving vehicle while being fatigued. It makes someone less able to pay attention to the road. It slows their reaction time if they have to brake or steer suddenly. And it affects their ability to make good decisions. One reason why driving drowsy is so dangerous is you can just doze off without even realizing it. And even before one knows it, their eyes can close and they're out. Maybe it's for only a second, but it can happen before they realize it. Yes, sleep is a natural physical process. It's something that we all need, but the scriptures use sleep as a symbol. And spiritual sleep, spiritual slumber, is far more dangerous than even dozing off in a moving vehicle. Because spiritual slumber does not endanger just our physical life or the life of others. It endangers eternal souls. And even good Christians can fall asleep at the wheel if we're not constantly watching. It can happen before we even know it. And it can cause us to pay less attention. It can slow our reaction time. It can impair our judgment. It can affect our ability to make good decisions without us even realizing it is happening. Spiritual slumber. Our text today in Romans 13, 11, it definitively says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than what we believed. Jesus is coming back sooner than we think. So it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. It's high time. Come on, we need to sense the hour that we're living in, and we need to wake up, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Oh, if I could stir your heart today, if I could shake you awake today, if I could awaken you from your slumber. I know there's a lot been going on. I know it's a crazy world right now, and we're all going through things we've never experienced before, but we can't just allow ourselves to slide into spiritual slumber. Jesus can come at any time. Jesus can come at any time, and oh, we've got to be awake. The reality of this is the virus of spiritual slumber will have a further and greater reaching effect than the coronavirus, because it will affect eternal souls. And we can't just accept this new normal, whether it's relaxing at home without assembling together or even coming physically to church but not really being here. That's possible too. Not praying, not worshiping, not being moved, not having a hunger for the things of God. Spiritual slumber is dangerous. It was in Matthew 25 and verse 1 that the Lord gave us the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. He said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. How fitting that they slumbered and slept, because that's the spirit of our age today. That's what we're seeing. They all fell asleep. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. I tell you today that that cry, that call, that moment is still coming. I know it's been a long time coming. Oh, we've heard preaching about it for years. And if we're not careful, we might start to think, well, it's probably not ever going to happen, because they were preaching that back when my dad was going to youth camps. But hear me today, it's coming very soon. It's coming very soon. We're so close to the coming of the Lord, and we have a pandemic of slumber that is attacking the church. And it's right when we should be awake the most. We're seeing the signs of the times all around us. When signs that would have scared the generations that have come before us. But we don't even really notice them anymore. I tell you, it's time to wake up. It's high time not to take church involvement less seriously. Oh, but it's time to make the church a priority in worship and prayer and in preaching. That's the most important thing to us. The call came, the bridegroom cometh, and they all had to wake up. And some of them made it, and some of them didn't. And I know the reality is today that not everyone who comes to our church may make it, but I refuse to let that dampen our cry. We've got to reach to every single person. We've got to wake them up from slumber. We've got to send the cry forth. It's time to wake up. Jesus is coming. Don't fall asleep now. Don't drift away now. Don't let on your prayer time now. Don't stop coming to church services now. Not when we're almost there. It's high time to come awake. Another way to look at this is found in what is called the parable of the wheat and the tares. I want to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 and 25. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The kingdom of heaven, it's like a man who, he went and sowed good seed. Of course, we know from the previous parable what the good seed is. It's the word of God. And how much the word of God grows, it's entirely dependent on the ground. You got good ground and you got thorny ground and stony ground. And the seed can't grow in hard ground. It can't grow in shallow ground. It can't grow in thorny ground. The word can't grow in a hard heart. It can't grow with someone who has a shallow commitment or someone who lets it be choked up out by other priorities. Good seed was sown into the field, the word of God. And even through this pandemic, we have kept sowing the good seed. I tell you, I've preached my heart out. It's been the hardest time of preaching ever. And our other ministers have been sowing good seed, good preaching and good teaching of the word of God. We've not missed a service. Every single time we've tried to have a move of God and a word from the Lord, even when it was online, we've been sowing good seed. But Jesus said that while men slept, the enemy slipped in and came and sowed tares among the wheat. While there was good seed being sown, I tell you, the devil has been busy too. And maybe we didn't notice it because we drifted off to sleep a little bit. But while we were sleeping, the enemy came in and he sowed some things that we didn't need, some tares among the wheat. And it started a few months ago, God gave me a word for somebody. And I'm going to preach about this probably at some point. And it was a word so clearly from the Lord. And all of a sudden, I began to examine my own life because what God had given me for them, I said, oh, I don't want that to happen in my own heart. And the word was this: there are some seeds being sown into your family that you do not want to bear the fruit of it. Oh, but I tell you, time will tell the fruit. Time will reveal the fruit. But if we drift off, the enemy can come in when we don't even realize it, and he can sow some things that are going to cause trouble down the road. He can be in and out before you ever realize it, and he leaves behind some weeds. Maybe it's a carnal attitude. Maybe it's a lazy outlook for the kingdom of God. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's doubt and unbelief, a wounded spirit, whatever it is. But even without us realizing it, the enemy can come in while we're sleeping and sow tares. There's a danger in giving in to the slumber. Proverbs 6:9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Don't give in. Don't give in. You're driving drowsy. It'd be easier to close your eyes and drift off to sleep. It'd be easy to just catch a little cat nap. It'd be easy to just have a little rest. And oh, I'm so tired and I'm so weary. But no, don't you dare give in. Don't you dare close your eyes. Not at this time. Not at this moment. There's too much depending on this hour. There's too much depending. There's too many who are depending on you. And you can't go to sleep now. You can't drift off now. You can't stop fighting now. You see, the problem with tares, they look just like wheat. They're weeds, but they look just like wheat. And in the beginning, they're almost identical. But while wheat can feed your family, tares are only good for burning. And once tares get into the field, you can't even see the problem until months later. You don't even know it until it's too late, unless the sower can realize that, hey, there's something going on. This doesn't look good. And in our lives today, we may not even realize some things that the enemy is trying to sow into our lives in a time of spiritual slumber. We may not even realize the problems that are in it for us. Our thinking may not pick up on it. We can be blind to it.
But oh, sometimes God will speak to someone who sows the word. He will speak to a pastor who will pick up on it in the spirit and would call our attention to it and say, oh, under a burden of the Lord would say, hey, we've got to wake up. We've got to pay attention because in this season, in this time, when spiritual slumber is spreading like a virus, the enemy is trying to sow some things in us that aren't what we think they are, and we're not even going to know it until later on. The enemy asked him, or the servants asked him, do you want us to pull up what the enemy sowed? No, because you could pull up the wheat too. Once weeds get established, you can't hardly get rid of them. At first, you can't even tell what's wheat and what's weeds. And all of us have had a steady diet of media over the last several months. Whether it's social media, news media, entertainment media, fake media. Even with online church services, yes. We've had our services online, but so has everyone else. And I've done it. You've done it. People have been constantly on Facebook or YouTube going from church to church, from preacher to preacher, from field to field, from teaching to teaching. And if we're not careful, the voice of your church, the voice of your pastor can get drowned out by all of the other voices. I tell you, there's so many... There's so many weeds out there. There's doctrines and there's teaching and there's ideas and there's opinions and things that can get sown into our lives before we know it. But we've got to hear the warning today. It's so important. Don't you dare fall asleep on the job now because God has something he's wanting to do through you. It's a vital time. Hallelujah. Oh, would you feel that nudge in the spirit today? Would you catch that burden today? That call to our attention, to our need, to this situation. Wheat and tares growing together. Some good, some bad, some dedicated, some not. Some real, some insincere. Some sold out, but some uncommitted. They're in every church. And you know what? The master said, what? To do. You don't go and try to root out the tares because you're going to root out the wheat too. But he said, you leave it alone and I'll deal with it. There's coming a day, he said, you're going to gather the tares. We're going to burn them. You're going to gather the wheat into my barn. And so today, we don't pick on people. We don't try to say, okay, is this the wheat or is this the tare? And we don't pick on people. But every once in a while, the Lord of the harvest can send a warning to a church that, hey, you better wake up. Because the enemy is trying to sow some things that would affect you spiritually. And I realize that in preaching a sermon like this today, there may even be some here today that you don't like what you're hearing and you're offended by it. But somebody needs to feel that hand on your shoulder today. It's the touch of the Spirit of God. It's shaking you. It's telling you it's time to wake up. It's time to get up. It's not time to sleep. It's not time to be unaware. It's high time to wake up out of slumber. It's high time to pay attention to what's going on. It's high time to see the signs of the times that we are in. Come on, parents, you know what I'm talking about, waking the kids up for school in the morning. Come on, it's time to get up. A few minutes later, come on, it's time. Come on, you better get up. You're going to miss the bus. Come on, we got to go. Come on, hurry, hurry up. It's time to get up. Oh, the signs of the times are all around us. Don't keep hitting the snooze button and going back to sleep. But it's high time to come awake because our salvation is nearer than what we believe. Oh, today, if you can hear this, pastor, if you can feel the burden in my spirit, somebody needs to wake up. Somebody needs to realize this virus of slumber, it doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care how long you've been in church. It doesn't care how much you've been used by God in the past, how anointed you once were. Spiritual slumber can affect every single one of us. Even the disciples with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. They'd walked with the Lord. They'd seen miracles, blind eyes opened, the dead raised. It's a supernatural. It happened every day for them. But Jesus, in the heaviest moment of his ministry, it was the heaviest moment in his ministry because it wasn't the cross yet, but he had to deal with his flesh before he even got to the cross. And he told the disciples, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Oh, it said that he being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And oh, what a moment when he needed prayer support the most. But then he comes to his disciples, and they're sleeping. When everything was about to be wrapped up, when everything was coming to the moment that he had prepared, when he was about to be crucified, and they're asleep. And in Luke 22:46, and he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Somebody today, you need to hear this. Wake up. Wake up. Pray you don't enter into temptation. Temptation is trying to infect our spirit. It's trying to kill our spiritual life. It's trying to destroy our soul. It's trying to catch us when we're not looking and plant some things in our life that we'll never be able to get rid of. Oh, it's the hour that we're in. We're being told to accept the new normal, and church attendance is dwindling across the board. Churches are being shut down. Some by government restrictions, but some because attendance has dropped so much. In this season, we can't sit back and just relax. Come on, we can't let fear control us. We've got to be wise, but we've got to wake up. We've got to wake up. Oh, somebody hear me today. The Lord is coming back. Jesus is returning. It's the end time. This is what we've heard preached about for years. This is what we prayed about. This is what we prepared for. And God is depending on you. Somebody wake up today. Oh, would you stand with me right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I pray that you will let your spirit begin to move in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would awaken us out of slumber. Let something shake us here today. Let us hear that call. Let us hear that message. The bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. This is the end time. This is the day. Come on, you've got to be ready. You've got to wake up out of slumber today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. And the enemy is rocking this world to sleep. Oh, I know good Christians. Good Christians are They don't like restrictions on churches and all of that. But it used to be that even people who didn't go to church would stand up for those rights. But now we are seeing the world rock to sleep. People don't care. People are too busy, too self-involved. They don't, it's just whatever. Even this world, we've got to reach to them, and we've got to say, wake up. Wake up. Because that ache and that pain in your heart, oh, you could try to drink it away. You can try to numb it with alcohol or drugs. But there's nothing that's going to heal that hurt and that pain in you like love of Jesus Christ, and like his blood to cover you. And oh, you got to have his touch. If you're listening today, if you're here today and you've never repented of your sins and asked God to forgive you, could I tell you, it's one of the most awesome experiences. There's only two that's more awesome than that. Repentance is awesome. It's awesome. How many times have you ever done something wrong and, oh, you knew it was wrong and you knew you shouldn't have done it, and just tried to carry it, just tried to cover it up, maybe had to lie about it a little bit. But maybe there was a day that you came to face with it, and you had to reach to that person and say, you know what, I was wrong. Please forgive me. And oh, it feels so much better. Well, I want to tell you what, I don't care what you've done wrong. I don't care the load of guilt and shame that you've been carrying. I don't care how bad it is. When you come to Jesus Christ and you say, I'm sorry, I've messed up so much. I've done so much wrong. And when you come to him and say, Jesus, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Oh, it's a wonderful feeling when he says, okay, I forgive you. I forgive you. I don't care how bad it was. I don't care how long ago it was. I don't care who knew or who didn't know. I forgive you. And the Bible says that we need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Oh, there's nothing like being baptized. You go down in the water. It was in the Bible, but we do it today. You go down in the water, and all of that old life is there. But once you go under the water, Jesus says, I'm going to just wash all of that away. I'm going to wash all of that away. And you come back out of the water, and you're a new person. And how many of you can say, I've never felt as clean as when I was baptized and came up out of the water? I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, now that you've been washed, now that you've been clean, the Bible talks about when you clean the house, you need to fill it up. Because you don't want all that bad stuff coming back to take up residence. And so he wants to fill that cleansed house. He wants to fill it with his Spirit. Amen. And as you begin to worship and thank God for forgiving you and for reaching to your life, and you begin to praise him, all of a sudden his Spirit will begin to move and his power will begin to touch you. And as you raise your hands and just worship to God, you'll start to feel the glory of his presence touch your life. And no doubt before very long, you'll start to feel it's almost like your tongue doesn't cooperate. You're trying to speak in English and praise and worship and pray to God, but your tongue doesn't want to cooperate. And many people just try to shut that down because they've never experienced that before. But that is the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. With another tongue, he will speak to his people. He gives the utterance of that speech. It's not something that we've learned in school, but it is a heavenly language. For with stammering lips and another tongue, the Bible says, he will speak. So you give in to that and you just let the Lord take over and his Spirit fill your life. And just like it happened in the Bible, just like it happened on the New Testament, on the day of Pentecost, in the New Testament, you can receive that wonderful gift and begin to speak in tongues as the Lord speaks through you and his Spirit fills your life. Amen. I'm calling every single person here today to wake up. To wake up, whether you've ever been filled with the Spirit of God or whether you've never experienced that. I tell you, the promise is for you here today, and we need to wake up. We need to receive what God has for us. It's high time. It's high time to awake out of sleep. It's high time to awake out of slumber, because our salvation is nearer than we believe. Today we're going to go into a time of prayer, and all across this house I want you just to give in to the Lord and say, God, I want to be on fire for you. I want to be full of your Spirit. I want to be led of the Holy Spirit. I want to accomplish what you want me to do. God, I pray that you would move here today. Amen. If you would like to come to the altar, and as there's room, we're going to stay distant, and you please wear a mask and all that, but if you would like to come to the altar to pray, we invite you to come, and please be respectful of distance from others, and just stand with those who are of your household. But you can pray right where you are, even step out into the aisle, and I'm going to believe believe right now with you that the power of God is going to move and he's going to minister right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this word today. I thank you for this burden today. I thank you for hungry hearts, Lord, that are reaching to you right now. I pray that you would awaken us, Lord. Wake us up, Lord. Don't let us be asleep. Don't let us slumber. But God, I pray that you would awaken every heart and every life right now, and that the power of your Spirit would work and move in us, Jesus. Oh God, it's high time. It's high time that we awaken. It's high time that we know what's going on around us. Wake us up, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. I pray that you would wake up fathers today. I pray that you would wake up mothers today. Wake up young people today, Lord. I pray that you would shake us awake, Lord, because we need you right now.